My assignment today, I'm hearing it now, yes. My assignment today is to take a look at another one of those goals. And it's not a goal which, frankly, I think we have a problem with, but it's a goal that probably we all could do a little bit better. And so for this reason, without apology, I will take this assignment, which is simply living a life that encourages others. 2 weeks ago, it was living a life that brings honor to God. Today, it's going to be living a life that encourages others. We're going to take a look at exactly what is spiritual encouragement. Then we're going to take a look at why should we be involved in encouraging people spiritually. We're also going to take a look at how does this happen? How do we encourage other people spiritually? And then, if there's time permitting, and I hope there is, we're going to take a look at the story of a man whose nickname, I love it, Son of Encouragement. We're going to take a look at him and see what was there about this person that his friends would call him Son of Encouragement. The ministry of encouragement is one of the most powerful ministries among God's people. It's been defined as inspiration to hope and inspiration to serve. It's so powerful that it has the power of fortifying our faith and it has the power of changing our behavior. This is why numerous New Testament authors have written to churches, things such as encourage one another and build each other up. That's from 1 Thessalonians. In Hebrews we read, let us encourage one another. We also read in Hebrews, encourage one another daily. That gives you the importance of what this is all about. Now, I hope you have no doubts about this next statement, that Scripture should be our primary source of encouragement. Wonderful promises we read in Scripture. We often sing, wonderful things in the Bible I see, and this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I don't know about you. When I hear that thought, Jesus loves me, I'm encouraged. There are times I need to hear that, and I read it in God's Word, and that promise just sticks out so much, so powerfully to me, and I feel I can move on. I can move on. But yet Scripture also makes it plain that God's people, too, should be a primary source of encouragement one to the other. I should have made a checklist of all the times, even today, since I've been here at 9 o'clock, I've heard the word encourage or encouragement. I think we just use this phrase an awful lot, so it's good to stop and consider it a little bit. We all have unique experiences. Each one of us come in here today with unique experiences, things that the Lord has brought us through. And we have the power to stop by somebody, put your arm around them and say, I know what you're going through. I've been through, and the Lord has brought me through it. The Lord's going to bring you through it as well. We have unique experiences, and our testimony can be an encouragement and example to others. There's a phrase we read a couple of times in Scripture. We have not been this way before. Nope. There's a lot of experiences we're going through that we have to be honest. We have not been this way before, but someone else has. And that person has the power to step aside of us and to instruct us and encourage us along the way. And then also, there are believers who seem to have just a unique grasp of Scripture. They have a unique understanding and knowledge of Scripture. And what a wonderful opportunity they have to share with a brother or sister in need Scripture, some of those wonderful promises that would just help a person at the time that they need it at most. And sometimes it's not so much they've never heard it before. Sometimes we need a reminder, don't we? We need a reminder. I've always said that the purpose of the person in the pulpit, me at the moment, is not so much to give you some thoughts you've never had before, but simply to remind you of things maybe you have heard before, but you need to be reminded of again, and I need to be reminded of them again as well. So why do we encourage? Why do we even have this need to do this? Well, the need is great. We live in a world that is very critical of so much that's going on. We feel the criticism as well. The world around us seems to focus on weaknesses and not strength. They dwell on faults. They tear down. In other words, sometimes we feel very beaten up and discouraged. We all need three things. We need to be reassured. We need reassured that we're on the right track in the Christian life. You know, again, we have not been on this road before. We need encouragement. Yes, you're doing the right thing. Keep it up. Secondly, we need to be challenged to even get to greater heights than we've even reached before. Greater heights in our devotion to Him, and greater heights as far as our service for Him as well. Remember those two thoughts. Devotion and then service. But there's a third one too. We need to be able to respond to the things in life that come our way that we don't ask for. Some of the things I've mentioned already, some of the criticism, some of the weaknesses, we need to know how to respond to that in a godly way. The world doesn't know that, and that's why there's so much dysfunction in the world today. But we as believers have a resource to stay on target and to stay strengthened. There's a distorted view that Christians don't stumble. No, Christians don't stumble, right? Christians never get discouraged. Right? That's a distorted view, isn't it? The Bible even tells us, you know, you're going to have problems in this world. It makes it very plain that we do struggle. We have weak spots. No, we all do. We have certain strong points. We have certain weak points. And we need to deal with those weak points. Some of us are younger in the Lord. The Bible says babes in Christ. Some of us are relatively babies in Christ. We haven't grown that much. We can't be expected to grow that much if we're a new Christian. And we need somebody to come along and to encourage us along that line as well. And we're living in the world that excludes God. Where do we get our advice from? You know, where do we get our advice from? Do we get them from our college professors? Diego's not here now, but he could tell you a story. He could tell you a story of what he had to deal with his past few months because of a college professor who was trying to give all kinds of advice that, frankly, Diego knew very well was wrong. But the guy sitting next to him in class probably didn't know it was wrong and probably just ate right into it. Yeah, we're living in a world that excludes God, and we have a need for encouragement from our fellow believers along the way. The opposite of encouragement is discouragement. And you know what discouragement does? It creates doubt. Spiritual doubt, which we don't like. It impedes our progress in our faith, progress in our service for the Lord, and that's not a good thing. So there are many ways why we need encouragement. In this life, we know we're going to have trials. I could ask, but every hand would go up. How many have had a trial recently? Well, we all have. Tribulation. Another thing, there are times in our life we have to make a decision. We need encouragement that we're making the right decision. Or maybe we need encouragement, no, you're not making the right decision. You better go in a different direction. I bet we can probably turn this into a testimony meeting right at this point, and we could share with each other times in our life, key points, where somebody encouraged you or me to do something that was right, or they encouraged us not to do something because it was just the wrong direction to go. And we've appreciated that encouragement. Sometimes there are disappointments in life. Christian life is not immune from disappointments. We have disappointments, things that we weren't planning on happening, but they did. We weren't planning on being without part of our building for a month, were we? Who expected it? Who saw that coming? But as a chapel family, we had to deal with that. And we have to deal with it the right way. We're disappointed. We were not prepared for it. But yet we're getting through this. And we're getting through it together. We wonder how our spiritual ministry to others is noticed. Yes. Most people here are involved in some aspect of Christian ministry right here. And we need to know, we need feedback. Is this working? You know, is it appreciated or is it ignored? Sometimes people who feel their ministry is totally ignored, they feel maybe it's not worth anything, maybe I should just quit. Maybe I shouldn't do it anymore. We all need encouragement that our spiritual ministry is noticed, that it's received, and that it's appreciated. Our response, how we cope with things, how we make it through, often is determined by the encouragement that we get, or maybe because of the discouragement we get, we go in a different direction. Encouragement says, yes, you can do it. Go for it. Discouragement says, well, forget about it. Just quit. You know? Two opposite poles, aren't they? And by the way, we look at people who seem to have it all together, and we assume they don't need encouragement. You know, they know what's right. They know they don't need. Yes, they do. People aren't really sure exactly what's appreciated. They need. Oh, in fact, I remember somebody telling me once that they were involved in a ministry, and they said, you know, they really felt very discouraged that nobody seemed to notice, nobody seemed to appreciate it, and the thought was in their mind, maybe it's because it really isn't very effective. Therefore, I think I'm going to stop. And I laughed to myself. It wasn't a funny thing for them, because this person's ministry was effective, and it was appreciated. But I think everybody else thought, oh, this person's so secure that they don't need encouragement. Not true. Not true. So don't hesitate encouraging somebody who you think does not need encouragement. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love, that's devotion, and to stir up good work, and that's service. Remember those two things we keep coming back to. Encouraging others in their devotional life to the Lord, encouraging others in their service for Him. And I added that third one too, that we need encouragement so that we respond to the happenings of life around us in a godly way. The biblical word, let me come back to that. How do we relate to our brothers and sisters? How do you relate? Just think about yourself. Don't think about how other people are encouraging you. Think about you. How are you encouraging other people? Are you an encourager? Or are you a discourager? Think about your relationship with other believers. I know there's certain personality types that tend towards negativity. And that's not your fault. That's not a bad thing in itself. But it means you have to work a little harder in being positive. The biblical word for encouragement has many different translations. It can be translated comfort, giving comfort to somebody. You know, again, the disappointments of life. A loved one passes away. They need comfort. You haven't been that road before, but you need comfort. Well, a fellow believer can come by and just make all the difference in the world by sharing how the Lord has gotten them through certain circumstances. Consolation. Being able to console somebody. Maybe they failed a math test. They need consolation. It's all right. Next one you'll ace. You know, we can console people there. We can implore. We can urge. We can challenge. These are all words that sometimes are translated encourage. We can exhort as well. Scripture does indicate that there seems to be certain people who have a special gift to encourage. We appreciate those people. To them, it just seems to come so naturally. These people seek out others who have needs, and they will make a point to stand by them and to encourage them. Maybe to give them some extra money if they need it. Maybe to give them some help, that practical help that's needed along the line. These people are able to do this. But yet the Bible also implies that all Christians can and should develop and actively pursue this ministry of encouragement. Preachers and teachers have a great pulpit for encouraging in a general sense. But yet each one of us as individuals can encourage another individual personally and at a very distinct time when that person might be going through a trial. You know, it could be a parent. Encouraging your kids, that's a great thing. Might be a spouse. Encouraging each other when they need it. You're the ones who are closest to that one. I remember once knowing a dad many years ago. And I was very concerned, frankly, because whenever I spoke to this dad, he would talk about one of his sons, and it was so negative. It's like, oh, this kid will never amount to anything. Oh, he's so lazy. Every time I heard anything, this was the thought, and you know what? The kid probably grew up believing this. And as a result, his life probably wasn't as fruitful as if the dad had said, you know, you're going to make a great man when you grow up. And the Lord's going to use you. Encouragement. Discouragement can make all the difference in a life. Showing appreciation for somebody else. You know, as people, we do covet the appreciation of people who are around us. Respect. We want respect of our fellow believers, and we want to support. All of this, it goes a long way to showing people that your abilities and your efforts are much appreciated. Do we see the potential in someone? Like this father I mentioned before, who only saw his son as lazy and good for nothing. Do we see that in this child is also the potential for wonderful things? That when dedicated to the Lord, you know, wonderful things were going to come about because of this man. An encourager has great vision. We can see beyond what you see at the moment and just think, I know what this person can do. I know what they can. When they grow up a little bit, they're going to be dynamite. They may not be now, but when they grow up a little bit, that's going to happen. They have great vision, and they can recognize that the circumstances of today does not mean it's always going to be this way, and therefore it doesn't limit their immediate evidence in perceiving somebody. One can encourage by sharing what God has done in our own lives. An encourager actually gets involved. It's not just saying something, but actually gets involved helping somebody. We're going to see this when we get to this example, this son of encouragement. How he not only talked to people, but he actually went beside people and was doing some very practical things for help. One who's constantly criticized, yes, has the power to be knocked out and vice versa. I heard someone jokingly say once that finding faults in people, that's my spiritual gift. I thought, yeah, I wouldn't even want to joke about that. Finding faults in someone is my spiritual gift. No, finding faults in someone is not your spiritual gift. But encouraging someone to reach greater heights and to be more devoted to the Lord, that's a spiritual gift. That's something that we covet, and that's something we really want. And by the way, encouraging someone also means, right along with it, we're going to pray for somebody. Do you see somebody around who has a need? Maybe you're aware of it. Can you pray for them? Absolutely. It's all part of it. And secondly, tell them you're praying for them. How encouraging it is to hear from somebody else, well, I'm praying for you this morning. Wow. Wow. That's what we need to be doing. And then thirdly, while we're praying for somebody, and while we're telling them we're doing it, we can pray with them. That's a wonderful ministry too. You sit down with someone and say, let's have a word of prayer about a certain situation. And that's a tremendous encouragement to someone too. The Apostle Paul was a wonderful encourager. And we read through his epistles, and we find so much that he said to encourage an individual, or he might have been encouraging the entire church. In 1 Corinthians, he starts off early in the book by saying, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. Ooh, that's encouraging. I'd like to read just a couple of verses from Philippians. Early in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, 3 through 6. And Paul is saying to the Philippian believers, the church in Philippi, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Very, very nice. To hear something like that from the Apostle Paul must have been such a boost. And then also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, in speaking to the church at Thessalonica, therefore we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a way of encouraging a body of believers. And then in 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, a young believer, and he says, I remind you to stir up the gift that God has given to you. Sometimes a word of encouragement says, get moving. The Lord has gifted you in such ways, use it. Don't hide it, but use it. That's an encouragement too, an exhortation. That's the way Paul was, and it comes through in his writing. But listen to this. There were times in Paul's life that he himself needed encouragement. We think of Paul as bigger than life, and we think, this guy doesn't need it. Yes, he did. Paul needed encouragement in times of his life as well. Here's a man who was greatly used to be an encouragement to others, but there was a man who was willing to be an encourager to Paul. It's interesting to consider all the things that may not have gotten done if somebody hadn't encouraged somebody to do it. Interesting. This person we're going to talk about, his name, you probably know it already, is Barnabas. Certainly not one of the top five people that we read about in Scripture, but what a wonderful ministry he had. We read about him in the book of Acts. We're going to take a look just at a couple of segments. First of all, in Acts chapter 4, we were first introduced to this fellow Barnabas. Acts chapter 4, 36 and 37, just two verses. And Joseph, or Joseph, we might say, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Yes, this man is introduced here, and we're told his name is Joseph. Whoever calls him Joseph? No one calls him Joseph. We call him Barnabas. That was his nickname. His nickname simply meant son of encouragement. You know, nicknames would be given to scripture characters that reflected personality, that reflected their character. Just an aside, what would our friends call us? If they were going to give us a nickname, not Tom, Dick, or Harry, but a nickname that had to do with our character, that had to do with our personality, I wonder what they would call us. Interesting to think about. We didn't discuss it any further, but interesting thought. Apparently Barnabas was the type. Bar, son of Nabas, son of encouragement. He was the type of person that would stand next to somebody and strengthen them by encouraging them. Right in this very passage, we learn a few things about him. He was a Levite. He was in Jerusalem, although he actually was from Cyprus. His name was previously Joseph, but he's known as Barnabas, and he was very generous. He didn't just give a contribution to the apostles' needs, but he actually sold some land that he had and gave all the money to encourage them. That's the way we can encourage people too. People in the Lord's work, we can contribute towards them. It's saying, I endorse what you do by giving an offering to them. And that's what he did. But that's our introduction to Barnabas. It's not the end. Turn to chapter 9. Chapter 9 of Acts, verses 26 through 30. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, now, we all know Saul became the Apostle Paul eventually, but he started out as Saul. And he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them in Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brothers found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus had credibility issues, didn't he? He was known by these disciples in the Jerusalem church. All of them were aware that this man came and he was persecuting Christians, and he had just the opposite effect of what they were trying to do with their congregation. They didn't know that Saul of Tarsus had an encounter with the Lord Jesus. And because of that encounter, he was a changed man. And he was now able to be a contributor towards the ministry of the Christian church. But we can understand from their point of view, they looked at Saul, and all they could think of is all his past. They needed somebody who was going to bring Saul and the disciples in Jerusalem together. Then comes Barnabas. Barnabas knew a little bit. And he said, I'm going to stand up for you, Saul, Paul. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to explain to these people how you have met the Lord Jesus and how you already have demonstrated in some circles that you can speak powerfully on behalf of him. Encouragers, something else about encouragers. Encouragers can forget about the past. You know, we all change, don't we? We all change. And if somebody knew you before you became a believer and you change, you're worthy of a second chance. An encourager will do this. When there's repentance and when there's new life observed, we know that we can look ahead with that person with productivity. But let's go on. In chapter 11 of Acts, the early church was dealing with growing problems. There were struggles, and there was also great growth, including the believers in a town called Antioch. Chapter 11 of Acts, verses 21 to 24. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great numbers believed and turned to the Lord. This is in Antioch. And news of these things came to the ears of the church of Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came, he had seen the grace of God and was glad, and encouraged them all with purpose and heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he is a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Struggle. But they needed someone to encourage. The Jerusalem church scratched their heads and thought, who should we send? Who should we bring? This church in Antioch needs encouragement. Well, the decision, I think, was quite easy. Let's send Brother Barnabas. Let's send him. So Barnabas goes to Antioch. When you read that, he was glad. He wasn't envious of the success they were having, but he was very glad of it. And he became involved himself. He used his own gifts and his own talents to help right there. Let's go a little further, the next two verses. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Paul. Remember before, we read that Saul was sent back to Tarsus, where he came from. And when he found him, he brought him, Paul, to Antioch. So it was there, they were there for a whole year, and they assembled within the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Well, Barnabas was the older Christian, and I'm sure he delighted in having Paul work with him, with his talents and abilities, and Paul needed to work on his abilities and his talents. He needed to get them to where they should be and where they were going, and what a perfect combination to have an encourager with someone else, and they work together. This is how the church was designed. The church was totally designed for one person helping another along the way. No lone rangers in the church. We're meant to be helping each other along the way. And all the discipling that went on, mentoring that went on. We use that word today a lot, and it's a good word. I'm sure Paul needed some mentoring along the line and got it right there as well. Some hands-on mentoring. He wasn't just being told how to do it, but he's saying, look, Let me show you how it goes. And so Paul and Barnabas were involved in the ministry in Antioch. Then we read that they spent some time in Jerusalem again. And then they actually went on a missionary journey together through Asia Minor. So it was led by the Spirit and was commissioned by the church in Antioch. And that brings us to another ministry parcel of Barnabas. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 40. Now after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God and see how they are doing." Good idea. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. And Paul insisted that they should not take them, the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contentions became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. So Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. Kind of an unusual story, one that we don't know exactly how to react to at first. That, yes, there was a trip, the first missionary journey, and apparently John Mark went with them part way. And then at some point, he left. He just departed from the missionary journey. And we don't know why. We have no idea why he left. Scripture doesn't tell us, but it does tell us that he left. He didn't follow through with what he was supposed to be doing. And then they considered a second journey. Well, Paul made it very plain. He was adamant. John Mark's not going with it. He's not going with it. His thinking probably was, this guy is unproven. That he's in the way. He's not contributing, and he's not trustworthy, because maybe he'll just leave again. We can understand why Paul might think that. Barnabas had other ideas. Barnabas insisted that they take John Mark. His idea was, let's forgive the young fellow. Let's forgive him. Let's give him a second chance. I see potential in this young fellow, and I want to see him working. Well, they couldn't agree. So in the end, two missionary journeys were had. As a post note, later on, Paul makes it very plain, John Mark is valuable for the ministry. Eventually, Paul got it, and he was able to see. But what an encourager Barnabas was to this young fellow. You know, at that moment, John Mark could have said, "Okay, I give up. I quit. I'm going with another group." Could very easily have done that. But Barnabas said, "I believe in you. I think, yeah, you made a mistake. You blew it. But I can forgive you. And I can give you a second chance because of your potential." And it worked. Yes, God used Barnabas in a very influential way. He had a great nickname, Son of Encouragement. He was a preacher, but maybe more importantly, he was an encourager. Many were changed because of him. In the last couple of minutes that we have left, I'd like to consider one other factor. What about us? What about us? Are we willing to be a Barnabas? Are we looking for ways that we can encourage the people around us for the Lord? Are we looking for ways that we can encourage people to get stronger in their devotion for Him? Are we looking for people that we might encourage their service for the Lord? How do we do this? Well, we can consciously look for people. We can share what God has brought us through. We can show appreciation. We can lend support. We can pass on to others materially what God has blessed you with. How is this done? Do you ever send a card? My wife does that. She sends cards. I think that's a great ministry. In writing, you can send an email. You can send a note on Facebook. But a card is a great thing. You open it up and it's actually signed with a name. And somebody, you realize, somebody went to the trouble of doing this for me. You can send a card. And that's a great way of doing it. And then, of course, the same simple conversation. You can tell someone, "Thank you. Thank you. What you did has blessed me." And that makes them want to go on. You can encourage one who to keep going when life gets rough. We can tell. We're part of a family. And we can tell there are times when one of our people is having a rough time, and we can encourage them, keep going, keep going. The Lord's going to see you through this, and He will. Sometimes we can confront one with a reality check in love. Maybe we can see that maybe there's some blind spots in their life that they don't see, and maybe they should, you know, consider alternatives, consider active action, and then you can pray for and with another. You can also lend a help. Very practically, somebody needs some work done, you say, I'll help you with that. I think we have a lot of people here at Fifth Avenue Chapel who do all of these things. And I think that's a wonderful thing. We probably can even do it better. Think for a moment about your own life. Was there somebody who came alongside you and encouraged you? Maybe they encouraged you to receive the Lord. Wow. That's something an encourager can do too. You can simply tell somebody, you need the Lord. You need to accept the Lord. This is what's going to make a difference in your life. We can encourage somebody to do that. Maybe someone encouraged you. Or they might have encouraged you towards the aspect of the ministry, and that's a great thing. Yes, we have so many encouragers right here, and I'm thankful for each and every one. Tonight we're going to consider a passage from God's Word. And again, the key word is going to be encouragement. We're going to see how one person in one passage of Scripture was a gigantic encouragement to two people who had two completely different needs, but yet He encouraged them both at the same time and with wonderful, wonderful results. And I trust that will be a blessing to each one as we do that. Let's close in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to ask that we sing a hymn in closing. Let's pray. Father, again, we're thankful for Your Word, for its power to instruct us. And certainly it is a powerful message when it says that this is what should be characteristic of Your people, that we need to take it seriously, and that when we do so, that we grow in the Lord as well, that we are encouraged ourselves as we encourage other people, and the church itself as a whole becomes more vital when we're doing this. We're thankful for those encouragers that we have here, and simply pray that they would continue to be so. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.